Let's continue to study Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah. Chapter 6, we come back to chapter 5, verse 23. Chapter 5, verse 23. But these people have defiant and rebellious heart. And they have revolted and departed. And they do not say in their heart, let us now fear our Lord God, who give us rain, both the former and the latter, in its season. He reserves for us the appointed week of the harvest. Verse 25. Your iniquities have turned these things away, and your sin have withheld good from you. For among my people are found wicked men, and they lie in wait as one who sits. Set snare, they set trap, and they catch them, they catch men. 27, a cage is full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit. Therefore, they have become great and grown rich, and they have grown fat, and they are sleek. Yes, they surpass the deeds of the wicked, and they do not please the courses. The course of the fatherless, yet they prosper. All these verses talk about because the Israelites, they betray God. God is going to withhold the blessing. Once God withholds the blessing, and their life will suffer. If we want to receive blessing, it's very important we have to keep our relationship with God very good. And rebellion about God and no fear about God, pay no attention about God, and that is the root cause of all the troubles. The Bible says, fear God is the beginning of wisdom. No matter how smart we are, if we don't know fear God, we are not a wise person at all. If we don't know how to fear God, we may live a life not according to His teaching of the Bible. Probably in a very short moment, we can live a very happy life. We can indulge all the things we like to do. But in the long run, if we live a life without God, and that will be a life with emptiness, a life with no joy, no hope, and a life with a lot of suffering. So we have to learn a lesson from the book of Jeremiah. Even though this is recorded 1,000 years ago in a foreign land, a different culture, but the principle today still apply to everybody because God do exist. The God they worship is the same God we worship now. but only different timing and different location. The words of God settle in heaven forever. So the words of God will apply to everyone in human history. There will be no difference. Now, we learn the book of Jeremiah, just try to remind us, the most smart, wise person is the one who fear God. Fear God has two meanings. In the book of Proverbs, fear God means depart from evil. That's called fear God, because you are afraid of him. So whatever he asks us not to do, we will do it. We will not do it, and that's called fear God, right? And the second meaning, fear God, in the example of Abraham, means when Abraham obeyed God's command and offered his only son, in that right moment, he almost ready to kill his son. And God said, no, don't kill it. I know you fear me. So fear God means we consider God's words and God's will as a command to us. So God's words and God's will is not a suggestion, it's a command. So nowadays, even though there are so many Christians, but we can see the corruption of the society, morality decay. Why? Because even though there are so many Christians, but not many really fear God. Christianity, in the name of God's love, actually, Christianity become corrupted. According to the Bible, God has two kinds of deity. One is justice, another one is mercy. And these two characteristics go hand by hand. We cannot lack any one of them. We cannot emphasize this one without emphasis on other side. If we emphasize other side without emphasize this side, then our understanding of God is not complete. For example, if we only emphasize God's righteousness and God's justice, what are you going to do? We only proclaim God's justice and righteousness. What is he going to do? What will happen? We all die. All right. Psalm chapter 105 mentioned, if God just count every sin we have committed, and deal everything accordingly, we will not survive until now. No. So if we only emphasize God's justice, we cannot live. We will die. No. So when we emphasize God's justice, it will make us to know under God's standard, we all have sinned. But when we realize these facts, and then we have to emphasize another way of or another characteristic of God, and he's merciful. So if I have sinned, what should I do? God already say you repent and he will forgive you. So because of God's mercy, we admit our sin and he will forgive. So our relation with God will normalized, will be very good, as long as we know how to pray for repentance. But on the other hand, if we only emphasize God's love without emphasize God's justice, what is going to happen? We emphasize God's love without emphasize God's justice. And that exactly happened right now. Most of the Christianity, they emphasize God's love. Not many, only a few emphasize God's justice. How come? Because they want people to feel good. If we emphasize on God's justice, people will not feel good. They will feel being judged. So nowadays, Christianity, you look into the Ten Commandments, the Seven Commandments already been erased, been blocked. Mainstream church, they don't preach about the Seven Commandments. So you look into the so-called mega church. How come the church is become a mega church? They all preach about the love of God, feel good message. They don't talk about controversial issue. If you ask them what is abortion, your stance, no stance. If you ask them what is a gay issue, no stance. How come no stance? if you ask them what your stance about divorce and remarry, no stance. If you ask about adultery, no stance. How come no stance? Because once they start to have a stance, then a lot of people feel guilty and they don't want to come anymore. And they don't want to come, and then offering will be reduced. And sometimes even they cannot survive. No. And a lot of mega church, they don't emphasize on so-called doctrine. So all the Christians, you can come. You are all welcome. We emphasize the love of Jesus. We don't emphasize doctrine. So if they start to emphasize you have to receive Holy Spirit and speak in tongue is the evidence of receiving Holy Spirit, you're going to see most of people will be gone because they don't have Holy Spirit. And they emphasize more doctrine, which is related to salvation, you can see more people will be gone. Also, the reason we are lonely, of course, we have to do our best to preach the gospel. The reason we see our church not many members, one of the important reasons is we stand on the truth, the teaching of the Bible. So that is the reason. It seems difficult to spread the gospel around. Fear God is so important, but nowadays in Christianity, 10 commandments is only 10 suggestions. It's not a commandment, suggestion. Suggestion, which one you like, you keep it. Which one you don't like, you just ignore it. So whether you keep it or not, it's not because God commands you, it's because whether you like it or you don't like it. So under the name of God's mercy, the Christianity already corrupted, like an apple. It looks very beautiful, but inside already corrupted, the Christianity. Jeremiah chapter 5, is talk about they don't fear God. So God withhold the blessing. Now we're going to chapter 6. Chapter 6 is talk about the impending judgment is coming. Babylon serve as God's instrument of judgment. Okay, now we look into the verse 11. How come it's so terrible for invasion of Babylon? If you read the verse 11, you can understand it. 11 and 12. Okay. Therefore, I am full of fury of the Lord, and I'm weary of the holding it in. I will pour it out on children outside and on the assembly of the young men together. For even the husband shall be taken with the wife, and aged with him who is full of days. 12. And their houses shall be turned over to others, field and wives together. And for I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitant of the land. So when the invasion come, a lot of men will die, and that man's wife will become other people's wife, and their house will be occupied by foreigner, and their field will all occupied by others. Can you imagine if this happened right now? Right? Your father killed, your mother been taken away, become other people's wife, and your sibling been killed, your house been occupied by other people, all right? And your beautiful garden was occupied by another person, how do that feel? And you see your sibling being killed, how do you feel? That's a heartbroken experience, right? But before that happened, Jeremiah kept on warning them, return, return. Oh, if you return, this will not happen. If you don't return, it's coming. But nobody wants to pay attention. Oh, that's human being, very stubborn. chapter 6. Verse 13 to 15. Because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetously. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deal falsely. And they have also healed the hurt of my people slightly. Saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. Here talk about the priest or the prophet. A priest and a prophet, and according to the Bible, it's just like a spiritual doctor. How come spiritual doctor? Because when the Israelites, the faith sliding backwards, it's something like sickness, just like what we mentioned before, sickness, spiritual sickness. If this spiritual sickness, just like decline of the health, if this spiritual sickness cannot be cured, and they were totally abandoned God, and woe, they are going to receive the punishment. So the priest and prophet are supposed to preach a warning and pray for them so they can turn back to God. Their spiritual sickness can be cured. But instead of this, they keep on saying, no problem, a peace to you. You have nothing wrong. It's very similar to if you have some symptom, right? And you go to see doctor. And one doctor tell you, you have cancer. Another doctor say, you have no problem, everything fine. Which one are you going to believe? If you have some symptom, right? You go to two doctors, one give you very extreme, say, you have cancer. Another one is, you have no problem at all. Which one are you going to believe? Which one are you going to believe? I'd rather to believe I have something wrong, right? Instead of believing I have nothing wrong, right? If I believe something wrong and I go to another doctor to have a second opinion and find out I have nothing wrong, thank God, right? But if you believe the first one say I have nothing wrong, then I just ignore the symptom and then continue to enjoy my life, right? One day I cannot get up in the morning, that's too late already, all right? Because something already rotten inside. So in terms of the doctor, you pay the money, you are expecting the doctor tell you you are something wrong and give you a medicine, give you a prescription, right? Otherwise, why you pay the money to see the doctor? So when God sent the prophet to them and warned them, you had this kind of wrong, you had to repent, otherwise the consequence will follow this 1, 2, 3. And they rather to listen to a false doctor, all right? One doctor has the license from God, which is a true prophet, right? Just like Jeremiah. He received a license from God in chapter 1, right? And another doctor is self-appointed doctor, no license, all right? And people rather to believe the false prophet has no license from God. And then they feel it's fine because somebody say it's fine, so no problem. So because of this false prophet, they live in a very superficial understanding about themselves, and that is a core, one of the reasons of exile. Now we go into the next point, chapter 6, verse 16. Chapter 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the way and see, and ask the older path. where the good way is and walk in it. And then you will find the rest in your soul. So the true prophet, Jeremiah, received instruction from God and tell them, then you have to stand in the way and see and ask for the older path and to see where the good way is. Oh, older path, right? In terms of technology, new one is better, right? Technology, new one is better. But in terms of faith, new one is better. Is that right? Oh, somebody invent a new theory. Nobody has invented that kind of theory before. Oh, is that good? Is that good? Oh, that will be very dangerous. Do you know? Right now, if some drug company invented a new drug, and when you're sick, you go to the hospital, the hospital will say, this drug is free, but you are the first patient. Are you going to take it? Free, but you are the first one. Are you going to take it? You don't want to take it, right? Because it's a great risk. So the drug has to go through a lot of tests. First, from the monkey or the dog or the rabbit, right? After go through a lot of animal tests and feel is safe, then ask for volunteer, right? In hospital, volunteer, it's free. Even your treatment is free. Still has some people who want to receive that kind of test. And after a human test, and then find no side effect and is effective, and then they were formally put into market to make money. They have gone through years of experiment. So in terms of the church, the new thing is sometimes is dangerous. Older one is the best. What is the older one? Older one is the gospel revealed to Paul in the apostolic church. So our church, the mission is to restore the apostolic church. So all the will of God, all the way lead to salvation, all are written in the Bible. Every truth we need to know to worship God, to live a righteous life, to be saved, already all in the Bible. This is all the way, right? Now, because in the second century, we read the Bible, right? The end of Paul's ministry, already false prophet already appeared to them. And they preach different doctrine. And after Paul died, and the church already lose the Holy Spirit because they preach different gospel. So until the beginning of 20th century, the Holy Spirit come down again and to reveal the early worker the truth which preached by the apostolic church. So the TGSC teaching was the teaching the apostle preached before. This is called common faith. So the older path is a good path. It's a way really can lead into temptation. So in terms of faith, older path is better. And right now, how can we manage the church? You know, right nowadays, a lot of different philosophy how to manage a company. You have been working different company, you can see different company philosophy is different. But how to manage a church? So a lot of people try to borrow so-called management in the company into the church. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. The best way to manage a church is the older way. You look into the Bible. So you have to learn 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, right? Do you learn 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians? And that is the right way, spiritual way to manage the church. If anyone who bring new idea, which you cannot find in the Bible, be watchful. That's not good for the church. The church is the body of Christ, and Jesus Christ is the head. So the church should manage according to Jesus' will, not according to human will. So the older path is the most secure one, is the most safe one. God reminds the generation of Jeremiah in verse 16, we just read. Stand in the way and see, ask for the older path where the good way is. So in TJC, our mission is to return to the apostolic era, the church in apostolic era. Even the church, the member, how to relate to each other. If we read the book of Acts, chapter 2, after we believe in Jesus, what kind of life should we live? Acts chapter 2. Verse 41 and 42. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of the bread and prayer. Look, the first generation of Christian, their spiritual life had four important content. The first content is observe the apostles' doctrine. Apostles' doctrine is Jesus' teaching. So there is Jesus' teaching as the highest guiding principle to guide your life, and which is the teaching of the Bible. The second is fellowship. Fellowship means spiritually we bond together through the words of God, through the movement of Holy Spirit, and through the caring like a brother and sister, and that's called fellowship. And the third one, breaking of the bread. Breaking of the bread means Holy Communion. They hold the Holy Communion to remember the love of God. So always remember the love of God. And the last one, in prayer, they always live a life of prayer to be filled by the Holy Spirit. So today, how can we revive our church? Emphasize these four content. The truth. If everybody are very well versed about the teaching of the Bible and rooted our faith on the truth, and the church will never turn into secular. Now, the church will be holy because the words of God is like a very high fence, will fend off the invasion of the world. If we don't know the teaching of the Bible, it's very easy the church will become secular, because the other concept will keep on coming to the church. And once we adopt other concept, once the culture in the world become part of the church, and then the church become worldly. So older path is the best. Technology, new one is good, but in terms of faith, old one is good. Don't easily believe the new teaching. Somebody invent the new teaching, invent the new doctrine, be watchful. Most of it has not gone through the test of time. So let's come back to chapter 6. Let's look into teaching material. Verse 7, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 7. And as a fountain well up with water, so she well up with her wickedness. Violence and plundering are heard in her. Before me continually are grief and wound. Jerusalem well up with wickedness. Jerusalem are supposed to the place where there was a temple. But because they don't fear God, and the false prophet become popular, so Jerusalem become the source of wickedness. And verse 8, so take the warning before it is too late. Be instructed, O Jerusalem, that your soul departed from you, my soul depart from you. Lest I make you desolate, and a land not inhabited. Look, the warning is, lest my soul depart from you. So what that means? The heart of God just left them. Once God left them, and then this city is going to lay desolated. Because God did not bless them. So before it's too late, please take warning. A lot of time is also a warning to us. Before too late, let's make a decision to return. And verse 11, Jeremiah was filled with the wrath of the Lord. Look in verse 11. Therefore, I am full of fury of the Lord and weary of holding in it, and I will pour it out on the children outside. So Jeremiah was able to feel the fury of the Lord. So this is chapter 6. Chapter 7. Now we're going to chapter 7. From chapter 7 to chapter 10, continue, the message urged them to repent. So you can see some of the message actually is repeating what happened in previous verses. So chapter 7, repeat the message of repentance. Now we go into chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 8. How can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly work falsehood. And verse 9. The wise men are ashamed and they are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the words of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? So the last part of the verse is very, very good. Right? They have rejected the words of the law. So what wisdom do they have? Right? The words of God is a source of wisdom. So if a person rejects the words of God, they reject wisdom. So God is a wisdom, a source of wisdom. Also, can anyone who reject the words of God claim themselves to be wise? Nobody. No. You know that nowadays, if we purchase a computer, always come with a manual, and the manual will tell us what this computer is and how to operate. If the problem, how to fix it. Oh. So a lot of time, if you don't look into the manual, you don't know how to do it. Oh. And we as a human being, oh, right? Who can tell us what is human being? Who can tell us what is life? And who can tell us how to live our life? And who can tell us when life has problem, how to fix it? Who can tell it? The one who created us, which is God himself. And how did God tell us, we as a human being, how to live our life? If we have problem, how to fix it? And that is the teaching of the Bible. So teaching of the Bible is just like a manual of a computer. Oh. So if we threw away the teaching of the Bible, nobody can tell us what is the purpose of life. Nobody can tell us what is the hope of life. And nobody can tell us really how to fix the problem of our life. Oh. So if anyone who forsake God, no one can be can claim that they have wisdom. Oh. Forsake the words of God, nobody can say he is wise. Oh, so the wise person always is the one who subscribes the idea of the teaching of the Bible. The wise person always the one who follows the teaching of the Bible. Even people in the world will look at you, feel you're foolish. But if you stick to the teaching of the Bible, you will be the wise person. Because that will be the righteousness in the eyes of God. And that will make us to be close to God and receive his blessing. Not only that, our life is going to bear good fruit. Your marriage is going to be good. Your family is going to be good. Your career is going to be guided and blessed by God. So anyone who rejects God, nobody can claim they are wise. So even though we are not very smart in orderly way, right? Probably we are average. Everything is average, but don't worry about it. If we keep the words of God, we are the wise person. Our life will be much, much better than those who are very smart and neglect the words of God. When we are young, right after you graduate, until the age of 30, probably you cannot see the difference. But if you continue to look, reach to age of 40 and age of 50, you can see. Now, those who are very smart, study a good school, but they don't fear God, they don't keep the words of God. And those who are very average, and they fear God and keep the words of God, when they reach to the age of 40 and 50, you can see there's a great difference. There it will be a great difference. So you look into the short term, yeah, no difference, or we are not so good. But look into the long term, we will be much, much better. The life is much, much happier. The family is much, much more harmony and more joyful. So the words of God is the source of blessing. It's a fountain of wisdom. Anyone who forsakes the words of God, nobody can say he is wise. Please remember it. If anyone give you advice, and that advice not coming from the teaching of the Bible, that will be the second best. Anyone who give you advice from the teaching of the Bible, and that will be the best. Because nobody can invent any philosophy of life, any idea to guide our life better than Bible itself. Because Bible is a manual God gave us to us because he created us. This is a very important principle we have to remember. Now we're going to chapter 8, verse 21. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. So when Jeremiah knew that God's punishment is coming, right? He feel hurt. Why? Because he loved the people in that generation. So he was he really has the same feeling. So that means if we really have the love, we can feel other people feel. If we have no love, we cannot feel the feeling of other people. So whether we have love or not, just think about when somebody in the church suffer, do we have feeling? You know, if it is a one body, church is a one body, that one part of the body suffer, your whole body will feel pain. The same thing. If we really, the whole church being filled with the love of God, one party suffer, and the whole church will feel the pain. So the church will pray, everybody will pray very hard to them. And that prayer will be very effective. Jeremiah, when he knew that God's anger is going to pour down to them, and he feel very much hurt because he loved them. Chapter 9, verse 1. Oh, that my head were watered and my eye fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the land of my daughter or my people. Oh, that I had in wilderness lodging place for travel, that I might leave my people. So verse 1 talk about all his ear was filled with tears. So Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. He was really loved his generation. So he really cared about them. So when they did not want to repent, and then when God wanted to punish them, he cried bitterly. That really, his heart was really broken. Verse 7. Therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and try them. Now, for how shall I deal with the daughter of my people? Verse 8. Your tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaks deceit. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart, he lie in wait. So continuously, Jeremiah keep on pointing the sin they have committed, the wickedness they have harbored in their heart. Now we come into the end of chapter 9. The book of Jeremiah, the end of chapter 9. Verse 24 and 23 and 24. And this is a very good verse. Jeremiah chapter 9, 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glorify in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glorify in his might, nor that the rich man glorify his riches. Verse 24, but that him who glorifies, glorify in this, that he understand and know me, and that I am the Lord, exercising love, kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For this I deny, say the Lord. So the Bible concept is so much different from the worldly concept, right? The worldly concept, a lot of people glorify in these three things. First one,
wisdom.
The second, might. The third, riches.
How come?
Because people consider these three things as a value of a person, right? So how do the people in the world, they value a person? Very simple, wisdom. And wisdom translates into, nowadays, become knowledge, right? Which school are you studying, right? You must be very wise and pass a very high score of SAT and go through all different kind of tests so you can study in very prominent school. That represent you are very excellent, you are very outstanding, and that's your value. This is the first point. The second point, the people who consider a person very highly valued is might. Might today means capability. So a person are very capable, they can climb the ladder in the company, and not only they will become a manager or supervisor or a CEO. So this kind of title represent their capability. If the person is not capable, you cannot reach to that top level and that kind of position. So the outstanding of the achievement in the company represent a person's value. This is the second one. And the third one is riches. Because once a person rich, you can have everything. From the new car, new house, most expensive house in the most very famous area, and a very good vacation, this and that. So most of people, they try to make themselves that people think they are very valuable, highly esteemed by adding these three things. But in the eyes of God, all these kind of three, what kind of school you study, you know? After you reach to the year 40, nobody cares you study which school. A lot of time I visit the convalescent home. I talk to the elderly people. Some of them graduate very good school, right? But when you reach to that kind of age, what kind of school you graduate, it doesn't matter at all. Even before you reach to 50, what kind of school you graduate, it doesn't matter at all. And about the mighty, or what kind of position you have, how much achievement you have, when you reach to the point living in a conversation home, who care you are manager? Who care you are the big company, some kind of head? That doesn't matter, you already passed. All the glory already passed. Nobody care. How about the riches? Riches is the same. You know, a lot of Hollywood movie stars, how many times they get married, how many times they divorce, how much they get drunk, how often, and how often do you use the drug? A lot of them die in what? Overdose of drug. Because can riches really bring a person a happy family, a good marriage? All right? So all these three kind of things occupy a lot of young people. I want this, I want that. So I prove I am somebody. But actually, that's not the most important thing. If that becomes the most important thing, and that becomes the idol, and that exactly what Jeremiah preached a warning to them. If you have idol, woe to you. Do you know, if our life, you become that these three kind of things become your idol, more important than God, woe to you. Eventually, you're going to see the life is going to suffer. Why? Because if that occupy more important position in your heart, our life already gone astray. Because we set the wrong goal of our life. Now, then eventually, we are going to suffer. Now, and then, what should we boast about? Verse 24, let him who glory in this, he understand and know me, right? Understand and know me is our glory because we receive the blessing from him. And then, not only that, we understand God is the Lord, means God is in control. Control of my life, control everything. We understand that. So the most important thing is do the right thing in the eyes of God. The most important thing is to please God. because he is the Lord. And exercising, God exercising love, kindness, and judgment, and righteousness on the earth. So how can we improve ourselves with God? We just do the same thing. We just do whatever God like, and then the relationship will be very good. Yes, prayer is very important. Nobody denied it. We spend a lot of time to pray. But whether we can really cultivate a very intimate relationship or not, it's not only prayer. It's something to do how do we live our life. If we really live a life of love, kindness, we are treating other people with love, with kindness, right? If we really live a life, impose a very high standard upon ourselves, I want to do everything right, which is righteousness. From inside my motivation, and from the way I speak, from the way I interact with other people, I want to do the right thing, righteousness, right? And then I want to humbly follow God's guidance in my life, and then our relationship will be very good with him. I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Chapter 9, verse 23-24. After they talk about so much warning, now he's going to give them a positive guidance. Don't rely on ourselves. Because relying on ourselves, we ourselves become taking the position of God. And then it's not good. We have to know God and also rely on God himself. So we can really be blessed. We look in one verse, Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28. The words of the Lord came to me and saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus said the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you say, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet you are a man and not a God. Though you set your heart as the heart of God, behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that I cannot can be hidden from you. With your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your own treasure. Verse 5. Your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. So, the Bible talk about Tyre, right? Because they are very rich and doing the business, so they earn a lot of money and they live a better life than their average people. Also, in their heart, they gradually become haughty, they are lifting it up and thought they are God, but actually it's not. So the young generation, they always have a very, very, very ambitious, try to be excellent and try to achieve some kind of outstanding goal, but be watchful. If one day we reach to that kind of status, on the one hand, it's a blessing of God. On the other hand, don't let it become a cause of our downfall. Once we take the position of God, our life will not be easy, because God opposes the proud. And God bless the humble. Let's come back to Jeremiah chapter 9. Chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. Verse 12. Verse 12 is talk about, before we go to verse 12, verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 10. But the Lord is the true God, and he is living God, and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth will tremble, and the nation will not be able to endure his indignation. The Lord is living God and is true God. Now, how come the Bible has to mention true and living? They must have a very important meaning, right? In the First Thessalonians chapter 1 also mentioned the same thing. The Lord is true God and is a living God. First, true means never change. That's called true, right? If after you go through the timing, the time continue, the history continue, it change, then it's not true. So the Lord yesterday, today, and tomorrow never change. Beside God, everything is changing. So the value in the Lord never change. So if we really live a life to please God, and that kind of life is very valuable in the eyes of God, and that kind of value never change. That will be remembered by God forever. But if we try to follow the culture and live so-called a very meaningful life, use a cultural standard, culture is changing. So one day you will prove that kind of value will pass. Our life become very meaningless at all. And God is a true God. So if we really serve him, all our work we have done for him will be written in the book of life. And that book will be forever, will be remembered by God forever. So that's called true God. But if you deposit your money in the bank, and then after you die, who belong? That money will become your children, right? The value will disappear. So he is the true God. The second, the Lord is living God. Why living? Living means he will interact with us. If we truly worship him in spirit and truth, and he will respond. And God's response to our worship, that's our experience. So if God is a dead God, there is no response at all. So if we consider money as a God, you worship money, can money give you any response? So God is a living God. He interacts with us. When we try our best to worship him, our life will, our spirituality will become a very life, lively. So we can make up our mind, and to worship this only one God, the true God and living God. Other than that, everything become idol. It's not true God. Okay, now tomorrow we continue. Let's pray inside.